from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Bobbred. On the 50th anniversary, 28th of March in 1964, the lady, as she was called, came to the UK. And now I would venture to say she's probably the world's most famous radio station. I think she's just known everywhere.
I think it's appropriate to say that actually Radio Caroline actually put the waves in radio waves.
Well, that's a very nice thing to say.
Oh, that's lovely.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Lovely naval type pun.
Yes. And I do have to say thank you to Chris Watford and Captain Campbell for sorting out talking on the ship, even if he did have to run up to the bridge halfway through it. But there you go. That's the joys of it, isn't it?
Can I just say something, really?
Yeah, go on.
About Radio Caroline, though,
because it's
a very important thing to people of a certain age, and it started to move on along from that, and people are actually starting to be very interested in it. But Radio Caroline was something that introduced people to really good music when the music, particularly in the UK, was absolutely abysmal. It gave young people something to aspire to, something to look forward to, and changed our ways of thinking. Radio Caroline, in one fell swoop, changed the world of radio.
That's quite profoundly.
I had to take a moment after he said that, actually.
Yeah, so did I, because it was quite interesting.
I had to take a moment.
Yeah, Tony Prince, who was one of the early crew on Caroline, actually, you're going to like this, Rach, he complimented the fact that both American and Australian DJs came over to the UK to coach these new Brits in how to do commercial radio.
Well,
and one of them is a really good friend of ours, isn't he?
Well, that's true.
You do lots of good things that I mean, you sent us over to this fantastic place as a punishment.
and then you just send all the crap back. Yeah, okay.
may I just say, though, actually, the person we're talking about, there's no reason not to mention him, Emperor Roscoe, is now 72.
Yeah.
And the shows he's creating now, which are very similar, the core of his shows began on Radio Caroline, moved on to Radio 1, and then still he's going, creating something that's modern but still steeped in the history of radio, and he is still quite phenomenal. I admire him greatly. I hope you're listening, Emperor, because I want to come out and see you in Hollywood again.
yeah, you monkey. But I think I'm reverting to Tony Prince's interview about the subject when they were discussing the state of radio today, and Tony Prince said, quite simply, we've lost personality radio in the music world.
Because I think that's right, yeah.
Radio has become a jukebox, or because the suits make more money that way, and they forget that the client is actually the listener, not the advertiser. Because without the listener, you don't have the advertising, and you will
lose.
And
you shouldn't be playing elevator music and thinking that's popular music and something that people want to listen to. If you want to listen to it, don't stand in an elevator.
The other thing you really shouldn't be doing is putting, C, D grade celebrities on as broadcasters either.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that.
I don't think that being on Big Brother entitles you to a breakfast gig. I really don't.
No, I don't think it does, and I don't think it doesn't. I think if this is one thing that annoys me, because I get, and this really grates me with some old folks when they're talking about X Factor and things. They go, I would never have won it. Like, so what? That wasn't the way it worked then. And I'm sorry, that's the way it works now. And if you couldn't have got on there because X, Y and Z wasn't the vogue of the time, that's life.
Can I just say, I'm sorry as well. I'm sorry, what you're saying really doesn't hold water when you think about who's won X Factor, and you're talking about people like Will Young and people like that, who actually offer nothing to this world other than a simpering, syrupy, kind of sickly thing that they pretend is music. And that's the kind of thing you get off X Factor. You don't get real music. You don't get real talent. You get average, homogenised, second-rate, elevator music.
Mm. Well, that wasn't even what bothered me. What bothered me is radio presenters. I don't think that being in the Big Brother house for 15 minutes entitles you to a breakfast gig on radio as a presenter. No,
it doesn't.
I just don't think it is.
It doesn't.
And suits making
who
decisions.
Who are you talking about? Name names. Who are you talking about?
In Australia?
Mm.
Yeah.
In Australia, I can name a couple of guys. Ben Lyons, I can name... there's a girl called Heidi who was on it. There's a girl called Abby who was on a reality show called The Mole. Mm-hmm. There's Amber Petty whose claim to fame is that she was the bridesmaid for Princess Mary.
Yeah.
You know, so on and so forth. And the thing that bothers me about it is these people don't have a background in radio. They don't come from a broadcaster's point of view.
They don't have to, Rach.
No,
if they're good,
I'm annoyed by the suits. But they're not. I'm annoyed by the suits who put the semi-famous people on there because the demographic watched that particular show that year.
One of Radio 2's best presenters, and she doesn't do it now, is actually Katrina out of Katrina of the Waves, who's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And she actually did a phenomenally good show. And she had no radio experience when she started that.
No, she's a musician. She was a musician who's got a point of view about radio because she comes from the music industry, and I mm-hmm. respect that. She wasn't a D-grade celebrity off a reality show. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm. No, I'm talking about people who really don't have the background in radio and don't particularly present. I agree with you entirely that there are a lot of dross that comes out of shows like that, and that really is where I rest my case. People who come out of things like X Factor do nothing really to improve the world of music or the world of radio or the world of television. Look about Joey out of Anyways Essex, a reality show. What's he done to the world? He was quite funny because he was so inarticulate and so supposedly innocent, but ultimately where is his fibre to create something which will last forever? We were talking about Radio Caroline 50 years on and people are still talking about it.
Uh-huh.
That is where the talent for radio comes from. People who
That's
actually got out and went out and did something big and something strong and something imaginative.
But they weren't. Lee, that's not what they were doing. What they were actually doing was going out and doing something they had a passion for, number one. Number two, they believed in it.
Exactly.
And a lot of them had zero, and I do mean zero, broadcasting backgrounds. They walked into an office in London. They said, I want to be a DJ. And the Irishman says, go on, then off you go and have a go. And it was as simple and as easy as that.
Which I think is basically what I was saying.
Well, no, because then that countermands...
But they came from nowhere and offered something really interesting.
Yeah, but then you can't have the argument that unless they come from a broadcast background, they shouldn't be doing it.
No, nowadays, because there's so much that's changed since back then when you could. It's even like recording artists like Elvis walked into Sun Studio. Mm-hmm. And, you know that doesn't happen anymore, not these days.
Thank goodness.
And the same thing can be said for broadcasting. You can't walk into a station and say, I want to be a DJ. They say, go off to radio school or go here or go there. Or, for the love of God, go on to Big Brother. So, you know, things are different now than they used to be. The value add to these to the nobodies is nothing. I mean, we're surrounded by Kardashian mess all over the place, and there's no value add to anybody for any reason. These pioneers back in the day with Radio Caroline, they had no idea what they were creating. They had no idea it was going to be so massive.
No,
they had no idea it was going to change the world, but it did, and more power to them.
But they were not doing it for profit, Rach. That was the important thing.
They did it for love. This is why Well, the three of us sit around on a Friday night, well, Friday night for me, but, you know, and rave on about all sorts of nonsense because we love to.
Yes. Funny that, isn't it?
But there are still people who, there are still people who come from nowhere. Right? Like, for instance, I went to an amazing outdoor concert last night in Perth, and it was a band called the John Butler Trio. And
oh, they're brilliant.
3 years ago, yeah, 3 years ago, he was a busker outside the market in Perth, and he had his stuff nicked and everything, and he was down on his uppers. He was finished, and all of a sudden, in 3 years, he's playing everywhere. He's playing Wembley Stadium. He's playing the Free Trade Hall in Manchester.
That's because he stuck to it.
Exactly, and that's that. Yeah, and he's good. People do come from nowhere, but he didn't need to go on blinking. You notice I said the word blinking, X Factor, to do it. He just got off his butt. That word that we can't. Yeah, exactly, butt's a good word.
Yeah, he got off his butt and stuck with it. And I think that really epitomises that which Radio Caroline's done as well, where it just refuses to die. And that's why it's so inspirational. And the irony of it is, 50 years ago, when they first started, very few people listened because they didn't have portable radios. So what did they do? They figured out a way of selling radios at a low cost to the people they wanted to get to. And that's what they did. And today they're doing it all over again by virtue of being on the internet and going on the next phase of radio, the next winner of radio, and driving it all over again. They keep driving. They won't stop. And I think that's wonderful.
Isn't it funny, though, how people demigrate internet radio? We're not only internet radio, like most people know. We do what is called traditional radio as well. But isn't it fascinating that really everybody demigrates people who do internet radio, and actually every single traditional radio station from the BBC through any others you can mention are actually now focused on the internet?
They have to be. Mm-hmm. They have to be. Yeah,
exactly.
They die.
So
people stop demigrating internet radio. Well, it's talent is.
Lee, they have to do that because there's a reason, and it's simple.
What?
If they don't do that, all their arguments for the last 50 years are down the toilet because they're going, oh, it should be like this, it should be like that. And when somebody comes along with something new, they go, oh, no, you can't do that, that's not real radio. Excuse me. What is the derivation of a radio receiver? It gets signals through the ether into a box. Yep.
Yeah, of course it is.
That sounds familiar.
And when I listen on my mobile device, which happens to also be a phone, I can't see any wires connected to it. Unless there's some big load of invisible wire coming from Mars or somewhere, that radio receiver that I'm using is wireless. It does not have any wires making it work. And funnily enough,
why was wireless called wireless when all it was wires?
Well, that's true.
That.
Yeah.
I love that. It reminds me of my granny. She'd say, I'd say, what are you doing now, granny? I was about four. And she'd say, oh, dear, I'm about to just turn on the wireless and listen to the news. And I'm like, what on earth is a wireless at four? I'm like, what is a wireless? Oh, what?
It's wireless. Absolutely.
What?
Yeah, well, I live in a country where radio was delivered on wires before. Serious.
And so do I. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the way it was. And in fact, wireless goes right back to Cat's Whiskers.
Or Mr. Marconi. Did it.
All right. Yeah, but
anyway,
you knew it.
Stop it. Anyway, happy birthday to Radio Caroline and, of course, all of the other offshore stations that were so influential, not just in the UK, but across the whole of Europe, to bring commercial radio to places where silly old people didn't want there to be radio for young people. And can I just...
Should we sing happy birthday for Radio Caroline?
No, because that would be an insult, because we can't sing. But I would remind you of one thing. The purpose of the radio was to bring entertainment to young people. And all these people that say, oh, but they don't play music like I want to listen to on radio these days. Do you know what? That's because they're playing it for young people. And that's where they should be playing it for. There's a market for older stuff, fine. But the mainstream state of radio has always been for young people. And so why wouldn't it be for young people today? Because a young person can be 9 19 or 90 in their brain and still love that same new music. It's just
only if they're on Facebook, there could be 9, 19 or 90, depending on what they're talking.
Well, that includes you then. We move on to a bit more news now, ladies and gentlemen. Fast food mum, baby finds a mum after 27 years. That's a lovely story. A woman abandoned a baby in the bathroom of a fast food store in the US 27 years ago. Catherine then managed to find her biological mother for the first time after putting out an appeal on Facebook, which was successful. And I have to say, that's just wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, I like this story because it just goes to show how great technology can be in people's lives. If it wasn't for social media and so forth, this search may have gone on for a lot longer and may not have ended well.
Exactly.
I love this and I've seen some really nasty negative comments about this story as well, you know, vilifying this girl/woman for doing what she did. But, you know, that's not the point.
No.
They have reunited and I think it's lovely.
I do indeed. Australia has rejected a controversial plan to allow crocodile safari hunting in the Northern Territories. That's you, isn't it?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes, it is. Oh, look, it's ridiculous. We've got a croc problem. Other than the fact that they eat people, that's a general nuisance.
No, wait a minute. Whoa. Who was there first? You or the crocodiles?
Well, I wasn't there first, but there are indigenous people there before I was.
But the crocodiles have been there for, like, zillions of years.
That's true, but they're becoming an environmental nuisance. So they also provide a really they inject a lot of economy into the indigenous communities.
All right, that's a good thing.
With hunting them, and that's a great thing. On the other side of the argument, there is the whole this isn't a slaughterhouse type of dealio, and this could be delving into, you know, inhumane treatment of animals and so forth and so on. So there are two arguments here, and I'm not really sure where I sit, but having lived here for a little bit and getting to know some of the indigenous people in the community, they really do rely on a lot of this stuff to, you know, to make a living. And I think that, you know, for a federal government to just ignore what a territory government is saying about something that they know a lot more about, to just wipe it off the agenda and just say, nah, that's not okay. I think there needs to be way more discussion about this. They can't just give these blanket, you know, no's when they don't seem to have investigated this at all.
Right, but if they're saying no, which, fine, if you want to say no for a minute, but in that case, are they giving the indigenous population an alternative income source to that which they're taking away?
No, I don't think that's right. I think we're talking about a totally different subject here. I think we're talking about safari hunting. And, you know, that's the equivalent to going hunting lions for pleasure and things like that. It's like in Slovakia, hunting black bear. You know, people, it's a totally
that's
different
controlled.
Thing.
That's totally controlled.
It is controlled now in Slovakia, but it didn't used to be. And the simple fact is we're talking about safari hunting, and is safari hunting a good thing? I think it's a terrible thing that grown-up human beings take pleasure out of murdering animals that, like Eric's just said, are part of the basic life and the food chain of a country. It's the wrong thing to do. You shouldn't have safari hunting. You can have a cull. We have culls of bears, badgers, and all sorts of animals.
I agree with you.
But you can't. Mm. We don't go on a safari to hunt. We've even banned fox hunting in Britain, which is a good thing.
Right, we move on. A bit of a screw-up in Gran Canaria this week, as a ship was mistaken for the plane crash. It was so bad, this story, that everybody and their auntie, the big news agencies, were all running it, and then all of them had to print an apology. Huh?
Well, they didn't have to print an apology, did they? What they had to do was tell the truth about how stupid this country had been, to misinterpret something. They got caught up in the absolute abject drama of what happened with the Malaysian airline.
Yeah, they did.
And that's all it was. And this country acted hysterically. And so the news agencies didn't print apologies. They told the truth.
Now, there you go.
You know,
that's the way it is.
I was just going to say...
Go on.
One last thing on that, because something over here in Perth, which is absolutely tragic, is that families are now arriving in Perth, families of people who are missing on this Malaysian flight, are actually coming into Perth in this blind hope to try and think that they possibly will find at least the bodies of their dead relatives. It's a tragic. It's an awful
situation. Which reminds
situation.
Me, I'm going to moan at Sky News now. I am going to moan. Not only are there 100,000 Russian troops amassed on the Ukrainian border, there's a plane that we still can't find down in Australia, where they were cutting across to the correspondent in Perth this morning, and what did they do? Interrupted him in his first sentence because that numpty in South Africa was going to court. I don't care. That is
Everybody's seen it 24 hours a day on every news channel. We've got our version of your Sky is pretty much the same thing, and we've got special boxes that you can press coloured buttons to watch certain things. And at one point you could watch this practically 24 hours a day, this trial. I mean, I don't care about Blades and his issues. I really don't.
No, me neither.
When I'm more interested in knowing what happened to these poor people on this aircraft and what is going on in Ukraine.
Yes.
I don't care. We're going to find out what happened to Oscar in the end.
Because the judge is going to make a decision.
I've got to be awful here, but that is lack of news judgments on that comment. You know, there is no news judgment in that comment. Sky News is a tabloid television, and it makes very good points about what's happening in the news. Oscar Pretorius is actually still one of the biggest news stories around, and it's actually coming to it's well because it's a big news story, and it's because a lot of people interested in
but
it.
But does the viewing, listening, and reading public agree?
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do.
How do you know?
They stop, well, because of the sales of newspapers and because of who people... because people are still following the story, people are still following it on the internet, people are still interested in it. This is an Olympic athlete who is ultimately going to you know, the culmination of his trial is very, very soon now. The problem with the Malaysian aircraft is that we do not know. What we're offering up is a mystery story. Yeah. And you mentioned, Eric, you mentioned the Ukrainian situation. Mm-hmm. And that is a terrifyingly political story of Russian starting to act almost in an expansionistic way again towards Europe. And that ultimately is something that we should be covering. But remember how little was talked about the Ukraine when it actually started off.
Yeah, that's true.
We were probably one of the first news-based programs to actually ask the question why nobody was following that story.
That's true.
Became a big news story. Now it's become a small news story. The Oscar Pretorius trial is a story that people have followed for a long, long time, and people need to know what's going on.
The good news is somebody in the court was ill, so it's been suspended, so nobody's going to have to suffer it today. Simon Cowell admits it's embarrassing that he can't sing.
Speaking of ill...
yeah... this was at the premiere of the X Factor spoof musical, written by a great comedian Harry Hill, which features everybody, including a singing Simon Cowell, and he can't sing.
It's always troubled me about this guy. It's weird.
His trousers too high, doesn't it? So that makes him have a very high voice. You can't really blame him for not doing that. He's an impresario, not a performer.
He's almost a falsetto. But I mean, I've always been troubled by him for many reasons. But one of them has been: how can you judge a singing competition when you yourself can't sing?
Well, I'm going to have to defend myself here as being a judge on the, and I have to say it was the junior version, not the big version, the junior version of Eurovision Song Contest.
That's not even a real contest.
No, it is.
I think that's a ridiculous argument to say that an impresario can't make a judgment on
the
whole show.
I was going to say the same. I can only sing in tune when I'm in the shower. When I walk out of the shower, for some strange reason, I go out of tune. And yet, I was a judge on a panel, and I was sitting there, and I didn't realise that one of the people opposite me was actually an exec in a well-known record label. And he said to me after, he said, "You must have been in the business an awful long time. Have you been in a band or something?" "Nope." And he said, "But how can you?" And it's not, it's because I've done radio and yada, yada, yada. So I do have an opinion on that. And I actually said,
No,
that person can't win because they ain't ready. That person can win because they are ready and will possibly have a future and make some money at it. And that's where it goes.
That's the position that somebody like Simon Cowell is in. He is an impresario. The whole basis of the show is that it's a talent competition. And people who go to audition for record companies, for instance, are not performing before singers or people who've been in bands. They're performing before businessmen.
Indeed. Right, we move on because we're going to squeeze a few more in. Why am I not surprised that Asia... Think about this for a little while, boys and girls. Asia are delaying, with a bit of red tape, the takeover of Nokia there's a double one on that. By Microsoft.
That's a bit of a double-sided tape, isn't it?
It is a bit, especially red tape.
That's some Hollywood tape, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you liked the headline. And I just find it offensive because where are the majority of mobile phones made? Asia. How come they can say, "You can't do that yet, we've got to talk some more"? Yeah, which means you guys get all the money and Nokia still struggles. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's what business is based on. I'm sorry, I'm being very logical this week, but it's actually that's what business
is
based
on. What's going on?
I don't get it.
Exactly. Well done, Malaysia. We love you, Malaysia.
We hate
you. Thank you for standing up and being counted in the business world.
A scary thing happened in London City Airport this week. Passengers of a Swiss airline had to leg it, run for it, because an engine exploded just before takeoff. I wouldn't be very happy with that, would you?
No, especially if my really expensive luggage was anywhere near there.
That's
in the hold.
Yeah, that'd get
but
lost.
What was in the way? What were they doing? Were they taxiing? Red hot chicken wings.
Yeah,
indeed. And we squeeze in finally the joke program of the week. Nick Clegg and Nigel Farage. Farage from the other lot and Nick Clegg from the other lot were on a television program debating things between each other. And at the end of the whole thing, there was this huge media furore over it. And what happened at the end of it? Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
You've got to look at the reason behind the news for all about it. It is so simple. Britain, because of the immigration policies, is becoming a racist country. And what you
could well be right. That's the end of Postcard from Pop Rat for another week, boys and girls. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Bye-bye, Lee.
I'm just doing me bites.
See ya.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.